Praise the Lord. Thank you, brother. Also, amen, this weekend, amen, is the Women's Conference. Amen. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a faith conference. Amen. And hallelujah, we already got the word on Marination for that. And can't wait to see y'all. Amen. And so don't delay. Amen. Go ahead, get your ticket registered. Do what you got to do today. Amen. Because I guarantee you, you're going to be blessed. You know what I'm saying? We a word type of a people. Amen. We execute when we get a word. Amen. So don't miss this opportunity to get your word so you can have proper execution. Amen. Some of the greatest turnarounds in my life came after a word. Amen. So don't miss your opportunity, woman of God. We presenting, we packaging something just for you. Amen. We asking God, God, if there was anything you want to say to the women of God in this church, we're going to carve out a weekend for you to talk to the women of Philadelphia. Amen. You don't want to miss that. It's like somebody in your house saying, God on the line for you. And you say, tell him, call me back. Don't tell him, call you back this morning. Pick up the phone. Come on, give y'all some glory. Amen. Got a word for you. Amen. He's got a word for you. Amen. And so I think that's all the announcements I have. It'll be a regular week in Philly. Amen. And I got a message. Amen. We're gonna talk about. Amen. God is pushing me to teach this. And so I'm going to teach it. And we're gonna look at Acts 13:22. And it might be a two-part. It probably will be a two-part. And let me just go ahead and read just this one verse. And the Bible says, and when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, whom also he gave testimony and said, I found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. God, we thank you for your word. Bless it. Save somebody. Edify us all. In Jesus' name. We've been talking about Paul's sermon in Antioch, Pisidia. And Paul, amen, is going through preaching about, amen, our history as a people. And he's going through, amen, some of the patriarchs. And right now he's on David. Somebody say David. And God put this label upon David. He said that David was a man after his own heart. And so that's what we've been talking about, because it's such a monumental thing. It's such a big thing for God to say that about somebody. And I don't know about you, but in my life, I would love God to say that about me. Like man, like Omar, that's a man after my own heart, you know? And so we've just been going through, what does it take to be a man or a woman after God's own heart? And we explored it, amen, and we asked the question, does it take perfection, amen? And we say no, because David wasn't perfect. In fact, David sinned against the Lord, not only sinned, but did something that most people don't even do in their lifetime. David, he did his act with Bathsheba, he wound up murdering her husband, amen, and it was just a bad thing. But guess what? God's testimony about David never changed. That he was still a man after God's own heart, with his mistakes and all. And we say, how could this be? And so we went through characteristics about David. Amen. Brent, I don't know if you have them, the ones we went through or not, but if you can put them up on the screen. Amen. I didn't write them down, but we went through them. We talked about, amen, his devotion. Amen. We talked about, amen, his worship, if y'all remember. Amen. We talked about his faith. We talked about the fact he was a giver. All right? And last time we talked about his repentance. Yeah, he did wrong, yeah. But it's not so much, amen, hallelujah, the wrong you do, but it's the way you come back to God after you do your wrong that count. Amen? And so we saw that in David, and we saw that all of these things separated David from the average person. He really loved God, y'all. You know? And so this morning we wanna get at another characteristic of David. I guess it's the sixth one. And we want to talk about, amen, the way that David showed grace and mercy to people on earth. The way he treated people around him. You know what I'm saying? Because I guarantee you this, that God is watching the way you deal with one another. Yeah. He really is. And he watches and he sees. He not only sees what we do, but he sees why we do what we do. You see what I'm saying? Because we could hide from one another why we do things. But God know why we do things, yeah. And sometimes we don't even know why we do things. You see, but we live out of our heart. And if our heart is dirty, if our heart is dark, if our heart is wicked, dark, wicked, dirty things come out of it. And we wind up treating each other a certain way because of some internal things that we got on the inside of us. And God watch all of that. You see? And I'm here to tell you that if you treat one another with two things, with grace and with mercy, you'll be a man. You'll be a woman after God's own heart. Come on, give Yah some glory. Amen. Amen. Now for the theologians, the skeptics, the critics, amen, they're going to look at my list and they're going to say, Pastor, we can't do any of these things on our own. And it's true. It's true. All of these things, amen, they're not in us on our own, but they come from God. And if we connect it to the true vine, if we connect it to God, we have an ability to allow these things to flow out of us. It's not that you can't treat people with grace and mercy. God's love is flowing through you if you're a believer. The question is, will you allow him to love people through you? All right? He wants to love, but we stop the love. He wants to show grace. He wants to show mercy to people around you. But oftentimes, we get in the way of God being good to people around us. He'll put a thought in our mind, a premonition in our heart, and we'll stop it. No, God, I ain't doing that for her. I ain't doing that for him. I'm not acting like that way, but they ain't been good to me. But you got to understand, and this is what separates David. You see, that's why Jesus had said, he said, man, he said, even the tax collectors and the publicans be good to those that's good to them. But the real test of love is to be good to somebody who not good to you, to love somebody that maybe not loving you. He said, then you're going to be children of your heavenly Father who make it his sun to shine, sun to rise on the wicked and the just, the good and the bad, the good and the evil, make his rain to fall. It's not about who deserves grace and mercy from you. It's not about that. You see? Because you didn't deserve it from him. Come on, give y'all some glory. Amen. So we're going to talk about a little bit about that, and we'll just look at that. I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Samuel 9:1. And there was many events in David's life where he showed grace and mercy, but this event to me excels them all in my spirit. In 9:1, we're going to look at David's, amen, interaction, amen, when he came upon a man by the name of Mephibosheth. Can you say Mephibosheth? Yeah, that boy in Truman, Mephibosheth. See? So let's just talk about it. It's so large, I'm telling you, I think it's going to take us 2 Sundays, but we're going to let the Spirit lead us, Brian. You see? But Chancey was singing your words, my lips. You see? Your thoughts, what? My mind. Your love? My heart, live in me, live in me. And that's what God waiting for. Let me love somebody through you. You see? You see? He says David was a man after his own heart. You see? As we look at 2 Samuel 9:1, look what it says here. It says, and David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? At this point in scripture, y'all got to realize David is at the pinnacle of his career. This is before Bathsheba. This is before Uriah. He's brought the ark into Jerusalem. He's already got a word from the Lord, amen, about his son building the house of the Lord. He's defeated most of his enemies around him. He's king not only in Hebron, but he's king over all of Israel. Let me tell you, this is where it's at. And at his pinnacle, amen, David looks out to see if there's anybody else he could help up along the way. Isn't that a word for somebody in here? You know, a lot of times when we get to the top, amen, we want to look down and sneer at people. You don't get to the top, Hebrew, to look down. You get to the top to help up. Woo! You get to the top to make somebody else's dreams a reality. That's why you get to the top. And that's what David does. He said, is there anybody else? Anybody else? Listen, he says, is there anybody else that I can show what? That I can show kindness to. That word kindness is the Hebrew word hesed. Hesed. H-E-S-E-D. I got it up there for you if the sound booth would elect to put it up there. Hesed. Say that with me. Hesed. It's an old Hebrew word. Old Hebrew word that's short but rich in meaning. That word means grace. It means mercy. It means goodness. It means loving kindness. It means favor. You see? And a lot of the times this word describes the way that God loves us. Hesed. You see, grace is when God gives you something you don't deserve. And mercy is when he holds back punishment you do deserve. Woo! That's God's love. That's hesed. David asks, is there anybody that I could show hesed to? The love of God to. The grace of God. The mercy of God to. You see? To explain this, I'm going to tell you a story. There was a judge in New York during the Great Depression. This particular judge, amen, he loved New York. He loved his people. Amen. He was also an attorney, and so one day he was sitting, amen. He was a mayor, he was an attorney, that's what it was. And he was sitting as a judge one day during the Great Depression. And they had a lady come in, a widow, and she couldn't afford food to eat, so she stole some bread from a local grocery store. You see? When she stole the bread, they caught her, they handcuffed her, they brought her down to court that night, and that particular judge was there. And he asked, amen, the grocery owner, you want to drop the charges? He said, no, I ain't dropping no charges. We got to teach her a lesson. The judge and the mayor, he said, did you even ask why she stole the bread? So the judge asked, he said, why you stole the bread? She said, well, I'm a widow. You see? My daughter's sick at home and my grandkids hungry with nothing to eat. So I took the bread. And when I got it, I was going to pay it back, but I took the bread. Judge, look at the grocery. You still want to punish her? Punish her. Teach her a lesson and others also. Judge said, okay, by the laws of the land, woman, I'm going to have to issue sentence. I'm going to give you 10 days in jail or you could pay $10. You see? She said, Judge, I'm going to have to do the 10 days, but I don't know how my grandkids going to make it. They're going to die without me. Judge said, no, you're not going to do the 10 days. I'm going to fine you $10. She said, Judge, wait, I don't have $10. I'm going to fine you $10. Took his hat off. He put $10 in the hand. And then he made everybody in court stand up like a room like this. And he said, for y'all to allow y'all city to have a woman in here to steal bread and nothing to eat. All right. And want to bring her to court and punish her. Guess what? He said, I ain't finding her. I'm finding all of y'all in this courtroom. He passed his hat and made every single person put a quarter in there. And now this is the Great Depression. This is when money was. He got his hat back. He gave it back to her. He said, the fine was $10. I'm going to take my $10 fine. The rest that was in there was comparable to about $800 to $1,000 our money. He said, woman, I'm not going to use the law to give you your punishment that you deserve. And I'm going to give you this $1,000. That's an example of grace and mercy. Come on, give God some glory. She deserved punishment. He didn't give it. And then he gave her what she didn't deserve, almost $1,000. You see? That's how sad. That's the love of God. And you see, all of us in here, we've experienced that. You see, because like that woman at the court, we've broken the law too. What law, Pastor? We've broken God's law. We've stolen at some point in our life. We've lied at some point in our life. We've committed sexual sin at some point in our life. And what do we deserve? We deserve to stand in front of the judge. And who's the accuser? The grocery store owner? No, our adversary, the devil. The accuser of brethren. I can see God looking at the enemy, Diablos, and saying, would you let him go? No, punish him. God said, all right, the law say I got to punish you. The wages of your sin is death. But the Lord just didn't take off his hat. He took off his crown. He took off his robe of glory. Amen. And the debt we had to pay, he got on the cross and he died for our sins. Anybody hear me up in here? And that was the mercy he gave us. He didn't use the law to punish us. That was the mercy part. And then he come and he give us grace. He give us not only forgiveness of our sin debt, but he give us life and life more abundantly. He give us joy unspeakable, peace that passeth understanding. We leave the courtroom of heaven just like that lady. Debt paid, fine paid, free and clear of the charges that was against us. And we leave with $1,000 in our pocket by the grace and the mercy of God. David said, is there anybody I could show chesed? Anybody I could show the love of God to? And I don't know about you in here, but when you experience the chesed of God, it make you want to love somebody like God done love you. Anybody hear me up in here? Because you know you didn't deserve it. And you know you couldn't pay for it. His love is too expensive. Come on, give y'all some glory. Amen. But it goes deeper than that. Amen. As we look at verse 1, David said, is there yet any that is left, watch this, of the house of Saul? Of the house of Saul. And this is when it goes deeper. And I put it second for a reason, because you got to understand the chesed first before you understand this phrase, the house of Saul. Those that know their Bible know the way Saul treated David. You know how he tried to kill David. He tried to throw a javelin at David, put David on the run. David had to leave the land of the people of God. He had to leave the house of God. He had to leave his wife at the time, Michal. He had to leave everything because Saul took it all away from him. And when he left his wife, Michal, back home because he was running from his life, had to be lowered down the window, amen, tied up some sheets. Let me tell you, he was a step from death. Anybody know what I'm talking about? When he left his family, guess what his father-in-law did? Guess what Saul did? Saul gave his wife, Michal, to another man. That's enough right there. And David was nothing but good to him. And Saul was nothing but wicked and evil. Saul was David's enemy. And David get up in the pinnacle of his power. And he said, is there anybody I could show chesed to? Grace and mercy. But not just grace and mercy, no. Anybody where? In the house of Saul. Anybody from my enemy's house. Anybody from my haters' house. Anybody of the people who was trying to keep me down, step on me. People that, hey, God, stab me in the back. Is there anybody from the house of who? Of Saul that I could show chesed to. You see why God would say that this is a man after his own heart? He is walking out in the Old Testament where Jesus would come thousands of later, years later and preach in the New Testament, love your enemies. Do good to those that do bad to you. Talk about you like a dirty dog. Love them. Pray for them. And David is walking in this thousands of years before in the Old Testament. Is there anybody from the house of Saul? See, you don't understand the traditions of the kings in the Old Testament. The traditions of the kings was this. When you got the kingdom from somebody who was not from your lineage, in order to protect your throne and the right of the throne of your descendants, you would destroy and annihilate, eradicate, commit genocidal murder against any other person who would have a claim to the throne that you just took. Speak that in regular English, you would have knocked all these block off. Every single person from Saul's house. Because what you don't want is some type of coup d'etat to happen, some type of rebellion to happen, and some cousin, long lost, great, 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 grand, whatever, of Saul to come back and say, I'm the king. So they would normally just knock everybody off. But David didn't do that. David says, is there anybody in Saul's house that I can show has said to his enemies? And for those that don't know, amen, that's just what God did to us. You see, the picture of the judge and the woman, it's a good picture, yeah, but that's not quite it. Because the judge and the woman, they don't even know each other like that. She ain't even done nothing to him. So it's an example of us breaking the law and him in a judicial fashion taking care of us. But there is yet another level of our enmity against our God. You see, you wasn't a widow. You was an enemy of God. And that's what the Bible says. You say, Pastor, what you mean before I was saved? I love God. No. God said, if you love me, you're going to fulfill my commandments. And before I was saved, I wasn't fulfilling no commandments of God. I was doing me. I was getting mine. And if doing me and getting mine meant breaking the laws of God, then they just was broken. Anybody was living like that? And Jesus, he said, if you're not for me, you're against me. And that's where I was. The Bible corroborates that when we look in Romans chapter 5, when it talks about all of us. Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all got that Romans 5, 8? Y'all have that? I tell you what. No, not that one. Amen. Go to 8, 7. Romans 8, 7. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. Now, Mike, can we be real in here? That's how we was living, man. In the sinful nature, man. Hostile to God. God say, be pure. We were saying, nah, we're going to be ratchet. God say, be sober. I'm going to get towed up. Anybody hear me up in here? Y'all saved now, but y'all know during the time of the year, right now, what y'all would have been doing. Oh, y'all have been lit. Cranked up. For some of y'all, it's y'all first Mardi Gras being sober. Y'all like, wow. Did the way February look? Tell the truth now. We wasn't obeying his laws. We was hostile. We was enemies. So what really went down, y'all, at that cross, was just him not dying for a widow who had broke some laws. It was dying for a Saul. It was dying for somebody who was trying to undo what God was trying to do in the earth. That's what we pray on. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We wasn't living that way. So what Hasad did was die for enemies. for enemies. And his love and mercy took us from enemy status and made us friends. That's what it means when we say that God made peace with us. That's what the angels sung when they say, hallelujah, glory to God in the highest, peace and goodwill towards men. Because God was sending a sacrifice for his enemies. Come on, give y'all some glory, amen. Woo! That's what Christ did for us. That's what he did for us. Let's keep on looking at this, all right? And 9, it says, and David said, is there yet any that is left, where? Of the house of Saul, that I may show him hesed, kindness. For who? For Jonathan's sake. But let's keep going in verse 2. And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. You see, David knew that Saul had a servant. The servant name was Ziba. And Ziba took care of all of Saul's estate. Saul was rich, man. He was king of Israel. And so Ziba was like his man that took care of everything. But what had happened was, since Saul was gone and nobody of Saul's legacy was there, Ziba was balling off of Saul's stuff. Ziba was living good, him and his sons. All right? But David asked Ziba, is there anybody left from Saul's house? He's looking for somebody from his enemy's camp to be good to. Look what he's saying in verse 3. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness, the hesed of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan has yet a son, which is lame in his feet. Which is lame in his feet. Pastor, what does that mean, lame in his feet? That means he crippled. I mean, he can't really walk like regular people walk. You know, he lame in his feet. And I want to tell you, amen, I think Ziba was saying that to David as a turnoff. Because Ziba was balling off of Saul's stuff. He got a son yet, David, but he lame in his feet. You got to understand, when people had a physical handicap in the biblical days, they were, amen, unable to do certain things. You couldn't go in the temple. Couldn't go worship God like you could. And for sure, nobody of David's status, a king, wanted anybody that was handicapped next to him. You see, he got a son, but he lame, David. But how many people know that David didn't care? He was crippled. He was lame. The love of God don't care about our lameness. Not only did he forgive us like a judge, not only did he make peace with us like, hallelujah, a person do to his enemies, but he overlooked our lameness. You see, I don't know about you, but all of us in the spiritual, all of us in the soul realm, we lame in some kind of way. Pastor, what you mean? Well, amen, in some kind of way in the spiritual, y'all, we don't operate like we're supposed to operate. The Bible calls it in Hebrews a besetting sin. And sometimes it's a sin that daddy had. Sometimes it's a sin that mama had. Sometimes it's something that's passed down the generations. Anybody hear me up in here? But I want to tell you that like David, what our God did, what the son of David did, he looked beyond my lameness. He looked beyond my cripple. He looked beyond my faults, and he saw my need. Come on, give y'all some glory. See, some of us got a problem with the way we talk. He looked beyond our crippled mouths. Some of us got a problem with the way we want to fight in our anger and our temper. He loved us so much, he looked beyond our temper. Yeah, they hit people when they met. Yeah, they blow up and they punch holes in walls. But they're mine and I love them. I love them through the lameness. See, Satan like a zebra. Yeah, God, they got some of them. But yeah, they got problems though, God. They got problems. They got problems with their mouth. They got problems with their temper. Some of them love money too much. They want a drug deal. Some of them got addiction problem. They on drugs, God. Some of them like the ladies too much, God. They always in the club. They always looking, running behind some woman. Some of them mess with too many men, Lord God. They got a man coming by the house all the time. God, they got some of them that you could show grace to, but they ain't worthy of your grace. You see, but Ziba and the devil got a misunderstanding of the definition of grace. Grace is when you give it to somebody who don't deserve it. It's unmerited favor. He said, yeah, he lame, but bring him on down to the palace anyway. Was there anybody lame in the spirit? Anybody had some problems before God found you? I love my God. He said, yeah, Jonathan has a son, but he lame, he crippled. You can't do nothing with him. Oh, no. David said, like Jesus said, loose him, let him go. The Lord had need of him. Come on, somebody. But I got to go deeper because some people in here don't know how he became lame in his feet. You see? In 2 Samuel chapter 4, amen, after David took the crown, especially in Judah, and he was about to secure his complete sovereign reign, amen, over all Israel, amen, Abner had died. Joab killed Abner because of some family stuff that Abner did. And the son of Saul, amen, was murdered by his own men in 2 Samuel 4:4. And the nurse of Jonathan's son, she saw the danger that he was in. Because at that moment when Saul's son died and Abner died, Jonathan was gone, she was holding in her hands Saul's heir, the next king. And she knew that that baby boy was in danger. Now, she meant well, but she did wrong. Anybody know you can mean well and do wrong? You see, because David wasn't like the other king. She thought David was going to come in and kill Jonathan's son because he was Saul's heir. You could be well-meaning, amen, and not understand all that's going on. That's why you got to seek the Father and say, Lord, what should I do with this baby? So she starts to run with this baby, y'all. Y'all know the story? She running trying to get out of the kingdom to save his life. But to save his life from a danger that wasn't even present. It wasn't even real. And that's what fear is. The fear of man worketh a snare. That's why it's not good to be afraid of anything. You understand what I'm saying? Because a lot of the time you running for something that's not real. Fear is false evidence that appear real. And you're running for something that's not even real. And it's got you out of position. And sometimes you could be running in fear, amen, and run away from safety and run into a problem. She ran herself into a problem. She running frantically trying to get out of there, wind up dropping the boy. She dropped the boy. The boy fall, amen. Something might have happened with his vertebrae, his lumbar, his spinal, amen. Legs don't work no more. The boy was good before she ran. He was crippled, y'all. And he was crippled because of the fault of somebody else. He was crippled, amen, because somebody else wasn't operating in God's perfect will. He was crippled. Anybody hear me up in here? Because somebody who was supposed to be caring for him had a lapse of responsibility and was negligent to the fact that she was supposed to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, but began to run over problems that wasn't even present. She ran, dropped him, and crippled the boy. And just like that, we crippled some kind of way. And a lot of our lameness, a lot of our problems, especially of the soul, of the spirit, of our character, the anger, the unforgiveness, the bitterness, the meanness, the way we treat people, the way we can't love people, those problems that we have within us, that make us unbearable in our marriages, unbearable with our children, unbearable even in churches. Can't even be in a church because we lame, we crippled. And we crippled, watch this, not even through the fault of our own. Somebody else dropped us. Somebody else who was supposed to be taking care of us and loving us messed us up. And for some of y'all, it was a daddy. Some of y'all, it was a mama. Some of y'all, it was an uncle. It was an aunt. Amen. They did you something. They abused you. They misused you. They didn't love you like you were supposed to be loved. And now you lame. You crippled. There's a part of you that don't work right. There's a part of you that can't do what God needed to do. Not because of your fault, but because of a fault of another. Yeah. Yeah. You ain't mean the way you mean because you just want to be mean. No. No, it's because of the jungle you was raised in. It's because of the jungle you was raised in. You put any little boy in the jungle, and you let him be raised in the jungle, and you come back 10 years later, you ain't going to find a little boy. You're going to find Tarzan, who act like an ape, act like the jungle, because he can't survive in the jungle without acting like an animal. Anybody hear me up in here? They dropped us, and we was crippled. It could be a family member just like this. It could be a family member. But you're lame because of it. You're crippled because of it. I want to tell you that, amen, this happens as well in the area of your besetting sin. You ain't. But daddy was drinking and mama was drinking and daddy got 3 family and 2 families. That's not the way you really want to be. Daddy sold drugs. Daddy killed. Daddy did. That's not the way you really want to be. And I look at our people, the Hebrews, this our story, y'all. This us. Mephibosheth is us. This is us. We here in this second Egypt, not even through the fault of our own. The people before us dropped the ball. Are you hearing me up in here? A lot of the struggles we growing up with, the trap house, the crack house, the prostitute, hey! We ain't asked for that. You see? But I thank God that God sees through our lameness today. He sees through, amen, us being crippled. That's grace. That's hasad. You see, Ziba never asked why is he crippled. Ziba just say he crippled. You don't want him. You don't. But David said, I don't care about how he crippled. I don't care about that. Because Ziba, you don't even know why he is the way he is. See, a lot of times we don't love each other the way we ought. And we mean to one another. And we cut ties with one another. And we consider each other enemies, especially in this house. Especially in this house. But we never ask the question, who dropped you? Who dropped you? Who dropped you? And they wanted the one, they said, man, how he still loving this one? How he still relationship with this one? Because some of y'all mad at this one, and they mad at you, and y'all want pastor to pick sides. Y'all want me to be mad at this one. I ain't being mad at none of y'all. Y'all all the sheep that God done put in my presence. Yeah. Oftentimes, both of y'all wrong anyway. I'm going to love all of y'all. I'm going to love, I ain't choosing none of y'all over none of y'all. And I love you. And they say, how can Pastor love her? How can Pastor love him? Because you see, when I look at y'all, I say, who dropped them? Shalonda, they didn't wake up like that. They're not treating people like that because that's, oh, no, just look one generation ahead. Just look at their mama for a second, or look at their daddy for a second, or. And if you want to go deeper, go 2 generations. We judge each other so quickly. We're willing to rob each other of God's grace and God's mercy we're supposed to be showing one another so quickly. And we don't know one another's story. We don't know who dropped them. Come on, give y'all some glory. Amen. Woo! He was lame. He was lame in his feet. The Bible continues, amen, even here. Hallelujah. It says, hallelujah. Watch this, watch this. Oh, God, let me find my notes. Say, find your notes, Pastor. He said in verse 4, he said, and the king said unto him, he told me he was crippled, but look what David said. David said, still, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house, watch this, of Machir, the son of Amiel. Where at, king? In Lodabar. Where Mephibosheth at? Lodabar. This is the last place Mephibosheth should be. This is the last place any of us should be. In a place called Lodabar. You say, Pastor, what's Lodabar? You see, the lo right there in the Hebrew means no. And the bar, that word, it means a lot of things, and we're going to talk about it. So it means no, and that the bar means pasture. Yes. Somebody got it already. I didn't have to do nothing. No pasture, no product, no wheat, no grain, no food, no bread. See, Lodabar, a barren place, a poor place, a poverty place, a low place, a place with no life, y'all. It's an Ichabod place. It's a place with no joy, no peace. You see, it's a troubled place, y'all. And we done all been in this place called Lodabar before, yeah. It's a place of lack, man. Either in the natural or in the spiritual. We just don't have what we need in Lodabar. And you got to understand who this young man is. His grandpa was King Saul. His daddy was Prince Jonathan, who was a better man than Saul. And he was the son of Jonathan, grandson of Saul. He was royalty, but he finds himself in Lodabar. You see? How many people know you could be in a bad place that you're not supposed to be in? You wasn't born for Lodabar. You're the son of a king. You're the daughter. Hey, God! Of royalty, you're not supposed to be there. But sometimes that's the way life takes us. He found himself in Lodabar. You see? It seemed like Ezekiel was talking about Lodabar when he said he saw a valley full of dry bones. Hebrew, we done been in Lodabar. Anybody hear me up in here? When we look at them projects and them. You see? But the bar also means, amen. Low means no. The bar also means word. It's the Hebrew for word. When I was in seminary, amen, and we was doing Hebrew studies, that was one of my favorite words, the bar, because it means the word. It means the word. This Lodabar, amen, is not only a place of lack, a place with no food, a place of poverty in the natural, but it's also a place with no word. That's what you mean, no word. No word. No word from God. You can't hear God. You can't get a word. You see, without a vision, the people perish. No word, no vision. No prophet, no dream, No direction from God. There's some in here, Spirit just told me, in Lodabar bar right now. Stuck. Can't hear God. Feel like, God, I need a move, but I can't hear you. I don't know which direction to go. There's somebody in here right now. Weeping in their heart. Pastor, you're talking to me. Some experiencing, because most of the time when you're in the no word, you're in the lack as well. Woo! Oh, God, y'all ain't ready for this. Y'all ain't ready for this. They found a prince in Lodabar. What was he doing there? Watch this. He was running, y'all. He was doing exactly what the maid was doing when she dropped him. You know, sometimes people can hurt us, mess us all up, y'all. And we mad at them for messing us up. But if we're not careful, because of generational bondage and the cycles that repeat itself through the generations, the very people we mad at, watch this, we wind up living and doing exactly the way they was doing it. Yeah! I'm telling you, Daddy, why you mess me up? Mama, why you mess me up? And here you go, you messing up the children just like they mess you up. See, unless the generational bondage is broken, unless the cycle is stopped, amen, unless there is somebody that intervenes, amen, this cycle of destruction continues in our generations. He was doing the same thing his nurse was doing. He was in Lodabar running. He was running. I got a word for you. Break the cycle this morning. Break the cycle. Can you see the same thing you hated in mama you doing? Can you see the same thing you hated in daddy you doing? You're doing the exact same thing. Same way that they didn't take care of you, you ain't taking care of them. And you say, they were playing cards, amen, and you doing something else. It might even look like it's godly. But you still neglecting them. Oh, well, y'all don't want to hear that. Y'all don't want to hear that. Y'all don't want to hear the truth this morning. You got to check yourself, yeah. This generational bondage is real. These yokes, amen, they real. Been in your family since you came off the boat. And want to keep you bound. Want to keep you yoke. But I thank God this morning that is the anointing that destroys the yoke. That God will come get you even in Lodabar and tell you you ain't got to run no more, Mephibosheth. And look what he's running from. He running from a problem that's not even real. The same way she was running from the king, he running from the king too. He in Lodabar when he could have been in Jerusalem. He running. Now while he running, watch this, hiding out. Look what's in the king's heart. Is there anybody from Saul's house that I could bless? So the king want to bless him, and he running from the king. The king want to bless him, and he running from the king. I just got it. Let me come on this side. You get me, first lady? The king want to bless him, and he running from the king. If this is not us, I want to know something. As pastor, I watch people run from God. What you mean, Pastor? Unsaved people, yes, and saved people too. Because God wants some things out of you that you're not ready to let go, and so you're running. You're running. You're keeping that closet closed. You're keeping that pantry closed. You're keeping that place in your life closed, and you're running from the king. When the king want to bless you, you're running from the king. And the king is saying, I can't bless you until you let me catch you, until you let me apprehend you, until you let me grab hold of your life and get this thing out of your life. Then I can bless you. it, but we're running. We're running. We're running from the king. The very thing you want, the king got in his hands. The king has in his hands. Mephibosheth is in Lodabar in lack, and I bet he reminiscing. Boy, I remember, boy, when I was. Oh, I wish that we could have it back out, you know. If we could just had somebody from Benjamin that would be king again, we could live the way we used to. And the very thing he want, the king has got it. When you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. That's been my testimony. We run from the king when all the king wants to do is bless us. Come on, give y'all some glory. Amen. Yeah. There's somebody unsaved in here, been invited to church, and you've been running from the king. And the king want to bless you. You're running from God. And he want to bless you. He want to bless you with salvation. He want to bless you with abundant life. And you'll never get it. You'll never get it running from him. You see? In verse 5, then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. So King David went get him, y'all. Went get him from the place where he was at. You see, sometimes God loves us so much, he'll come get us. I don't know about you, but that's what he did with me. See, some people look at me and they say, man, how your life end up here? Because somebody loved me so much, they came and got me. They came and got me. And because it wasn't my idea to be here. It wasn't my idea to be in the Lord. No. He first loved me. I didn't choose him. He chose me. He came and get me out of Lodabar. Anybody hear me up in here? You see? And listen, next time we come, if Carlos could approach the stage, next time we come, we're going to go into what the king actually do for Mephibosheth. And I want you to go ahead, read ahead. That's good, read ahead. But come on, get this revelation as well when you read ahead, because there's some things God want to do for some of y'all in here that he going to do for Mephibosheth. And you got to come get this revelation. You got to come get this thing. You see, we walk by faith and not by sight. You see? And faith cometh by hearing. And hearing what? Hearing the word of the Lord. There is a Mephibosheth blessing for you. Woo! That God will give you in spite of your lameness, in spite, hey God, of the crippleness you have in your life. You see? I love that God will come get us where we at. And when he come get us, he don't leave us like he find us. I'm trying to tell you something here. All right. But I won't keep you long because this second part going to be too long. We'll be here till this evening. You see what I'm saying? So I'd rather part to it. And like them good movies, it'd be to be continued. You see? But he came get me out of Lodabar. Out of Lodabar. If you're here this morning, you're not saved, and you're in a low place. You're in a place of lack and of poverty, a place with no vision, no direction, no word. Got a word for you. The king is looking for you. The king is looking for you. The king is looking for you. You got royalty in your blood, and you're not supposed to be where you're at. The king is looking for you. Don't run from the king. The king don't want to hurt you. He want to bless you. Pastor, okay, I hear you. And this word was for me. How do I do it? You just admit to the king that you're a sinner. You got issues. And a lot of your issues, not even you, it's because somebody else dropped you. Somebody else done messed you up. But the good thing about God is that God loves us with hesed love. It's a love so rich in grace and mercy that it gives us what we don't deserve, and it withholds from us the punishment that we do deserve. And he's waiting. He's waiting to love you like you always was created to be loved. You admit to God that you're a sinner. You're a Mephibosheth. You believe in him, that he loved you so much. He died on the cross for your sins to pay your sin debt like the good judge did. And you confess him as your Lord and your Savior. Yeah, there's going to be a part where you pledge allegiance, not to America, but to God. It's going to be a part of that. Well, you confess that Yahshua Jesus is your Lord. Funny thing about that is that when you get under God, God always takes care of his own. We live life where we rely upon man to take care of us. But let me tell you something. You ain't never been taken care of like when God take care of you. I'm telling you right now, you ain't never. But there's some believers in this place. See, even believers could find themselves wandering back to Lodabar. The son of a king. The daughter of royalty. In Lodabar. That's where the prodigal was, huh? When he came to himself, he was even wanting to eat the pig food. The slop. He said, even the servants in my father's house eat better than this. I'm talking to some prodigals in here. You done wandered into the far country. You find yourself in Lodabar. Can't hear him. Can't see him. No peace. No joy. In a spiritual dry place, a desert. Got a word for you, believer. The king is looking for you. The king is looking for you. He not done with you yet. He ain't gave up on you. No. He's sending for you. He done sent his servant crying out from the hilltop down in the valley, a load of boys saying the king is looking for you. Come home. He's going to slay the fatted calf and give you back your ring and clothe you back in the garments he had you in. Once a prince or a princess, always a prince or a princess, but you got to come on out. A load of ball. Don't run, don't hide from the king. The king don't want to hurt you. He just want to bless you. Come on, give God some glory in this house. Amen. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Ushers, open up the gates. We coming out of Lodabar. Open up the gates. We coming out of Lodabar. Open up the gates. Listen, the altar is open. Come on. Come on, receive the grace. Come on, receive the mercy. Come on and receive the love of God. Woo! He wants to restore you. He wants to bless you. He wants to save you. From this altar call, this moment on, woo! I can't give you all what I'm going to talk about, but he's going to restore it all. He's going to restore it all. Woo! Your what? Hey!
Your loving kindness.
Loving kindness. That's what I said.
Your tender mercy.
My God. Somebody knew what they were talking about.
Day after day.
My God. Woo.
Forever.
Forever faith. That's our God. Who always.
Always providing for me.
He's a good, good father, I'm telling you.
Great is your mercy.
What about his grace? What about his grace?
Great. your grace.
My God, my God, my God. Here we go. I want to pray with you right now. Coming out of Lodibor, I want to pray with you right now. I want to say, God, my King, thank you for Hased, your grace, your mercy, your loving kindness. I admit I've got problems on the inside. Somebody dropped me and they messed me up. I don't want to be this way. I want to love you and do what I'm supposed to do. But I need you to heal me where I'm broken. Fix me, Lord. Somebody say, fix me, Lord. Somebody say, I'm broken. Fix me, Lord. Say, I believe that you love me so much. You died on the cross for me. You were buried in that tomb. But on the third day, you rose again. And you promised me that if I called upon you, you would answer me and save me. Now, Lord, I'm Mephibosheth. And I'm coming out of Lodibor. I'm coming back to the King. Restore me. Bless me. Save me. Forgive me. And use me. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Come on, give y'all. Come on, give y'all some glory. Hey, your loving kindness. Loving kindness, loving kindness toward me, tender mercy, hey, day after, day after, thank you, Lord, your mercy, Jesus, my God, loving kindness, so good to me, Lord. Mercies, I see it, Jesus. Forever, faithful Jesus.
Always providing.
Woo! For me, Jesus.
Great is your
mercy. What's the good to you? May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious, gracious to you. Lift up his countenance upon you and bless you with shalom peace. Bless you with peace.